Off the Ball.
GAA.
Nicky's been playing outrageous hurling, and this season, I would say, and for me, would be my hurler of the year so far. I think he's been head and shoulders above everyone else, and it's funny that a keeper is that, but he has been head and shoulders above everyone else.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Keith, first of all, massive congratulations. Dust has settled a little bit on the All-Ireland Minor Football Championship. You've had a week now to think about the comeback. How are you feeling about it?
I've had a week now to do nothing and unwind. That's what I did now. I went down to Kerry this week. I'll be there next. I'll come back. I came up now for the match tonight, and I'll come back down again. Because no one talks to you in Kerry when you're a Cork football person. They'll just leave you alone, which is great. So no, I haven't really given it much thought, anything thought, except just soaked it in. I suppose that's important. We went down on the Sunday night, right, when the cup went to Ballincollig and they had a big hoo-ha. So that was it. Point to Raza, and that was it, and home. And I haven't been out since. The lads have gone out right. I've picked very good selectors and very good players. Players well able to party. The selectors are unbelievably well able to party. But I've just soaked it in. I just love that part of it. You know, that quiet part when it all dies down. And about 1,500 texts. Yeah, in the phone, people are very enthusiastic about it. So I like to respond to them. So that's where we're at now. I like to kind of leave it, just soak in really and enjoy it, you know. That's it. And enjoy them enjoying it. I get a kick out of them. I don't get a huge kick. I mean, I'm like home store more. When it's done, it's done. Like, it's when it's gone, it's gone. It's just on to the next thing, you know. I do get a great kick out of the young fellas enjoying it. And particularly this year, the mentors, most of them, myself and Morris, go back a good bit, and we'll kind of dibble out a bit. Billy has done it before with the minors, and I know Billy a long time. All your selectors and all the backroom staff, it's a first kind of foray into a winning thing. So that was lovely for them, yeah, you know. Really lovely.
It must be really special when the full-time whistle blows to have won it in the manner that you did with the comeback. You know, did you think at halftime that you were going to be celebrating the way you were?
Yeah, I suppose the games. I saw a tweet there last year that said there's nothing more dangerous than an 11-point lead. So, you know, with the new rules and stuff like that, that was a funny time. But there's a bit in it. You see yesterday with Down and Wicklow as well. Like, you know, the game, it's not just one 2-pointer, you know, and a goal, and all of a sudden that's a 5-point thing wiped in. So when we went in the half time, there was a bit of a breeze there, you know. We opted to play against the breeze and play with it in the second half. We won the toss, which is Joe's full function. That was his only reason why he was captain, we told him. It was just that he was the best fella to flick a coin. So we said we played wind. Very disappointed in how we played in the first half, really, how we all played. But that's to be expected when, you know, there's nerves and there's, you know, Tyrone were there last year. They were even in that pitch last year. You know, it's all new to our fellas. But they got the grips of it. We give them the stats at halftime and we leave them figure it out. This is the whole purpose of it, because they can't hear us when we're out in the field, so they have to make the stuff up as we go along. So I'm a big believer in reflective practice, you know, where kind of lads would feedback all the time. Just to me, like how they, you know, how they felt they're playing, what they done well, what they didn't do so well, what they learned, you know, what they're going to do the next day, that kind of stuff. So it helps them when they're making decisions on the pitch. You have to teach them to do it kind of retrospectively first, and then you'll be thinking, teaching them how to do it, what they're going to do. But the biggest thing is that they have to teach themselves how to do it in the moment. And so when they go out on the pitch, they do it in the moment. So that's, so at halftime we had a chat about it. Might have thrown it to one or two, seem to know, but only one or two. We're very gentle enough now. Most of the lads kind of figured out themselves what they were doing, and so we said, look, we go out in the second half, we could even concede another score or two, but not a goal if we can help it, and just keep the scoreboard ticking over. 30 minutes is a long time with the new game now. And we did know that once we were in sniffing distance at the end, we'd have a very good chance, because every game they play, they finish out well. So, yeah, I wasn't as kind of concerned at halftime, because there's nothing you can do with a match, you know what I mean? My biggest stressors are the week before, when you have to pick a team and tell lads they're playing and they're not playing, and you know, that stresses me hugely because they're so young, you know what I mean? So,
is that the worst part of the job?
Well, that's definitely, for me, it's the worst part of the job. Because, you know, every young lad, at 16, 17 years of age, they give you the heart and soul. So they'll do everything right. They'll do everything that you kind of, you know, that you ask them to do. But the big thing is to give them ownership of it, which a lot of coaches tend not to do. So we tend to give them ownership of everything. And they really run with it and they matured. And so there was no, we had 15 players starting with, you know, 4 or 5 subs, which you always bring on. And there's no difference between them and, you know, if it was like the Busby Babes, if anything happened to that group, the other group would have came in and it would be just as, you know, they'd be just as good. They're good footballers, you know. But you have to pick somebody and then you have to not pick somebody. And I suppose when you're an intercounty young lad player at that standard, you've been a very good player and the main focal player in your club. You'll always play down the centre, you never play in the wings, you don't play in the corners, you know, you're a central player, you're always picked. So the hardest adjustment for them is to adjust to this life, you know, that you're a team player, you come in, you do your bit, you might play this week, you might play that week. It's very hard for them to kind of figure that out. But the new game is that, like, it's a game of cards. You have to finish with as good a hand as you, even a better hand than what you started. So you've got to be able to bring in your lads. So, yeah, some lads were very disappointed. One of the things that we did there with the county board were very invested in it was that, so in the final, rather than giving every fella number 26, 27, 28, 29, we just gave every fella number 25. So we had every fella that was not in the 24 was at 25.
Brilliant.
Because it does, because they have, and their parents and their clubs and everybody have given so much to it. So I find that the hardest. I don't sleep a day before and I certainly don't sleep, you know. And when I do sleep, there's all dopey dreams about the matches. Do you know what I mean? They're coming up to... but that's the stressor. And I think the other stressors then are these kind of things, like where you finish the games and you have to talk to the press, you're talking to people, you're always conscious of what you're saying because you're giving a bit of yourself all the time and you're never too sure what you're giving. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I'm not scripted. I've never been scripted. I would think about stuff, but I'm not scripted. So they are the two stressors I find. The games are not stressful at all, or the training sessions, the games, they're just beautiful. Like, I mean, they are, when you win or lose, like, they're, it's a beautiful part of involved in it. The criticism afterwards, if you lose and stuff, don't bother me either. You know, people will, you know, opinions. This time last year, we were in the county, Cork County Board. They were all giving out about football. They wanted a second review. They wanted to do this, do that. This year, the 20s done well. The senior footballers had a very good year. The minors have won. And I went into the board, standing ovation. Joe Miskell, as captain, said a few words, received the cups formally. We went out, another clap. And the next... action for the board was they wanted to review the hurling. So like that way, and criticism and you know, it is only, they're right, we have to question things, but it's fickle enough, like, you know.
Yeah.
So what you have to be doing, and the, you know, press are fickle and people are fickle, and there's a very good book there, Slow Thinking, Fast Thinking, you know, and where they actually, the whole basis of it is, you know, people don't think that much, actually. They kind of just borrow other thoughts.
Yeah.
And add to it, you know what I mean? So we don't think so. If someone says, oh, the referee robbed him, there's a great chance that everyone else will have that script by the time they're halfway down the road that the ref robbed him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or they have a great comeback, or, you know, like, there's a, or you can hear stuff, Rickon is a legend and all this kind of stuff. A load of shit, like, you know what I mean? Those who are in it know, like, the young lads and all the work, the coaches, the backroom staff, it takes loads of things to work. The parents, the young, the clubs themselves, the talent base that they have, their even genetics, all these things land to winning a match. Do you know what I mean? It's not just any fella's genius and can do, you know, genius things. I don't believe that, like. But what it is that you can recognise something and you can give it a little tweak here and there. Maybe. And we made some good switches in the day of the match. Yeah, great. But they're good when you win.
Yeah.
But you can make the same switches and lose. So there's a lot of easy, lazy thinking there, you know. So we tried to get to encourage the players to think for themselves. And so I didn't even know what question you asked me. I was rambling on there. But, you know, it's just stuff that was in my head now. But, we're back in the ground. You said the dust settled. Yeah, dust settled. you know, straight away. But it's magic dust, really, you know. So you just want to leave that go and mix and go around to the various summer camps. Cups at home were done the 15s last week, done on the weekend. So done the 15 squads were in. And Donnie Kilmany, he's from Lucetown. He was in Lucetown Parish, so he went over and spoke to the team, and he, I know he would do a good job, and he did a great job speaking to him like an adult. You know what I mean? It's, you know, and that's magic, you know what I mean? And the lads, the cups going to different places, the cups in the hospital the other day, little bits of magic. So it's not just dust, it's kind of magic dust. It kind of goes everywhere, you know, and that's lovely. And that will wear itself out. Loads of lads played the weekend. And there was guys playing yesterday, back in the horse, and as so should be in, you know, a week, and you dust yourself down and you're off again.
Yeah. What's obviously this year you won Munster, you won in Ireland, and so that's a success. Yeah. But when you look at players that leave your panel, medals and titles aside, what would success be for you?
Well, success to me is that, you know, they get the maximum out of themselves, right? So they can think for themselves, that they're on the pitches, and they can just figure things out as they go along. They don't have to be told everything. My man has gone out there, will I follow him, Keith? Morris, will I follow? You know, this kind of, they can just look up and see what I have to do and go and do it. And that's a first form of success. And, you know, we do ask them at the start of the year, that, you know, they have to be mature than your average, you know. So we ask them to be 19. So that's what we do. And that's our kind of mantra. Older we're 19, so we think 2 years older than what we are. So that's a success. They go home and they're good children to their, you know, parents, and you know, they're good, they're committed to the club, which is a prerequisite for being involved. You know, over years there was often lads who might have been overly committed to their club, but they still would have got made county minor.
Yeah.
That's not a, you know, you have to be committed to your club, you have to be committed to your school, you have to be playing with your school. If you didn't play with the school, we'd have questions and this and that. And if they continue to play with the school in the next 2 years and they continue to play with their clubs, and if they can push up onto the 20s, I suppose these are all little wins. But for me, if they can just develop themselves, they don't have to be put in a plan and this is your plan, you must stick to this plan, but they can actually see what they have to do themselves and go off and do it. That now will be real success. Yeah. And look, the bottom line is that you want them to turn out like, you know, good citizens, good people, like you just really do. And, you know, last week there I was asked to do one of these things, no videos, for Mirren Cockery, she's Daniel Goulin's better half, much better half, by the way. And Daniel is 40, I couldn't believe it. And she said, would you do something here for him? And I said, right, I'll do that. And I just couldn't get over, like, Daniel is 40, he's three beautiful kids, you know, done very well in his life, his PhD. You know, you were part of his little journey for the small bit when he was a minor, and when he was under 20s, and when he was with Sigerson's and Freshers Football and MTU. That's success, like, for me, that's, I get a kick out of that. It's not that it's my success, it's their success, and I kind of revel in it. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does, yeah. It must be great then, having the role that you do, GA Development Officer in MTU for years,
and Student Services, yeah. Yeah, my wife, then eventually, after 22 or 3 years, said, you want to grow up now, Keith, and get a proper job. Still questioning it, but
same here.
I'm in an alleged proper job at the moment, anyway. But yeah, being involved with her little, being involved with young people is beautiful thing. Like, you know, like you go into a room and, you know, most people now look for PowerPoints to plug in their phones. Well, you go into a room with young people and you're being plugged in, like you're charged. You can feel the energy of them, you know. I think that's, I'm lucky that way, you know. I'm lucky that, you know, I have two young kids that, you know, like one is, well, they're not kids anymore, so one is 19, one is nearly 16 this week. Both of them kind of, you know, they think their dad is greatest AF of all time. Now they're at that stage of life, but, you know, that you can know that, and you know what's ahead of them, and you know that, you know, you're up to current events and what's going on in the young people's lives. It is very helpful when you're rearing your own kids. But it's just a joy, really, working with young people, go to matches, they bring you alive. And then to see them old people go to the same age as I am, if you know what I mean, because I think I'm only 40, so I'm well off it. But you know, like that, just to see him go to that, like, and successfully negotiate that and do very well, like, it's fantastic. Yeah. Last week there, you know, I'm talking a bit now, but at the match in Newbridge, we had two Vincent's lads. Had two rough. One of them was going through a rough time health-wise at the moment, and he got a tough diagnosis, and he's working his way through it, and he'll do well too. And another guy is just after one. And both of them were played, I coached, and my first group of players in the 80s with Vincent's, and both of them played Cork Minor afterwards. So there was a nice kind of a full circle there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was lovely. Yeah. And they were at the match, and they came up to the match, and you know, they were the people who kind of, you know, everyone is hugging you and slapping you. And but these are the people you look for, like, you know, just to see, you know, that, you know, just have to make eye contact, you know, that this is you, this is them, this is the circle. Do you know what I mean? That's beautiful to be involved in that.
Yeah, I know. You've had your own health struggles as well. Does it give you a lot of a sense of perspective? Because when we hear from managers, a lot of the time, I think after games, we hear stats, or we say like, oh, I think we did this great in the kick out, or we did this great in the throw balls, but you always seem to veer towards the personalities of the players.
Well, I'm sure that's what I get a kick out. I mean, I get a kick out of that, because players, like, players win matches, right? The rest of it is only 5 or 6%, right? 10%. Your kick outs, your strategies, your style of plays, all these things, they're important. Yes, they're important, and you need to address them. But it's human beings, so in MTU, like, we always talk about the people who come down the hill, because you have to come down the hill into the pitches, and we always say, you know, the guy or the girl that's coming down the hill, you're more interested in him or her now. That's the most important part. How is she? Where are they coming from? What's their story? And how are they going away? And if they have their shit together, they'll make great decisions. No matter how good a training session you're making, if their shit isn't together, well, you are wasting your time with the training sessions, because they go out onto the match and they're not able to make the decisions. So I do think it's we need to be focusing more on the young people. We need to focus more on what they see, and we need to focus on what they hear, and we got to be learning from them as well as them learning for us. I suppose they are not your players, you're their coach, and there's a difference.
Okay.
You know, so you know, you are there for them, they're not there for you. So, and I would think that, like, in management and coaching and stuff like that, that is, for me, it only makes common sense. Or the people who would argue with me, and, you know, and there's often times when we lose matches and get the shite hammered out of us and different things, you'd love to be, oh, geez, I wish I was more ruthless, or I wish I was more, you know. But, and I am a cranky son of a, that's right, I am cranky enough, like, it's not that I'm not, but you've got to be kind of focusing on the players, really, because they're guys making decisions. And anyone tells you that they won it on the line or lost it on the line, I'm not so sure. I think that's very lazy speak. I mean, the players' decisions, you know, I mean, the loud manager was as good as manager you get last week. His team, you know, they just, the wheels came off the train, really, as such, for a large part of that game, you know. A couple of injuries, a couple of rush decisions, a couple of fellas who kind of maybe got a bit brain fogged or whatever, the whole occasion, which happens, like, you know. Is it, did he lose it on the line? Did he? No, none of that. Like, you know, he'll go back now. He'll address that. The players will learn from it. I'm sure they'll come back a better, you know, a better team and stuff. So it is dealing with personalities. I think most county managers, like, I watched Jack O'Connor, you know, and, you know, he's a wily fox, like, in fairness to him. But going into the tunnel yesterday, you know, I was watching him going into the tunnel at half-time, and he just put his hand on one of the two lads, nice and gently, no talk, no nothing, just to acknowledge that they were there, or they've done well, or, you know, come on now, whatever. That's that kind of knowing your players.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit more, I mean, yeah, there's kick-out strategies, and there's all these things, but these are the big things, like, because you want to get the most out of the player. Because you've selected the player, he's good. He's already good.
Yeah.
Right? You just want to bring him up a tiny bit. But you want to get the mist out of him. Like, yeah.
I know we're here to talk football, and you do have a football game to go to coach. You've got championships, so I won't keep you for too much longer. But after last weekend, back with Cork Hurlers, I think a lot of people were saying exactly what you've been saying, that lost on the line, or if it's in someone's head, and is that something that the Hurlers maybe didn't get over after last year? Would you have thoughts on that?
I think anything scientific would probably prove that if it happens twice, it's not necessarily a pattern. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's not necessarily a pattern. And there's been a lot of good things happened in between. So it's just like a pattern would be week after week after week after week. Yeah, they have, you know, they've hit Croke Park now, they've underperformed twice in Croke Park, you know. But they've performed quite well in Croke Park a few times as well. So Croke Park doesn't be the issue. The losing on the line, you know, like ultimately players take responsibilities. Players made poor decisions, you know, at times. You know, they lacked that bit of energy, whatever happened there. Like they'll reflect on that. I know, I don't know all them players now, but I know a good vast group of them, like, you know, and they're solid young fellas. I mean, they're solid men, and they'll go and think about it. I think what happens is that people really want it so well for them, right? That they're like their children. They're disappointed in their children. Like, it would be good if Cork supporters and Cork people could treat them like their grandchildren, you know, as a grandparent and not a parent. So, because you can't disappoint your grandparent. Right, but you can disappoint. Like, I mean, I know I'll go home, and if Max hasn't done something, you're disappointed. You know what I mean? And there's a contract there, and I think people project that onto the players then as well. But like, I mean, they do give their heart and soul. I've often seen them train. They've been in MTU, they've been in the park. You know, they give a huge effort. Do they lack leaders? Well, I watched a lot of the games this year, and they've showed great leadership. Like. Maybe just a bit, but they're young. A lot of them are very young, and you have to develop that consistency in leadership and that consistency under pressure. It will happen. I mean, they have the capabilities. They're not senior hurlers. I mean, they're senior the county hurlers.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. They're in the top three or four every year. I mean, you know, you can't unlearn to ride a bike, and you can't unlearn to be a good hurler. You can't. You might freeze up a small bit, things mightn't go well. There's a kind of accumulation of a lot of issues that might happen together at one time, kind of a perfect storm. But like, if Cork hurlers won a hurling in the next 2 years in Ireland, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they have the players. I mean, there's a few things to tweak, and maybe they'll all do that. I'm sure Ben will reflect on, you know, different things. But like, we got people who'll be looking, and I know guys who are coaching who'll be looking at what was they wearing. Was I wearing my lucky underpants? Was I wearing my lucky top? Like, just, you know, you can really go into kind of these to show things, like, you know, I would genuinely think that they do an awful lot right. And they have good people involved in them, and they have good players. You know, I would hate to have it lazy thinking. You know, I'd like to figure out with them, go down with it, you know, someone to go with them and figure them out, and maybe do a bit of work on it. Maybe there is, you know, kind of cognitive learning to be done from it. There's maybe the preparations and stuff, the outside noises, maybe there is stuff like that. I don't know, you know, I'm not in the camp.
Yeah.
But I was privy last year to watching a number of sessions on Barkey Cueve before the hurling final last year, you know. But I've done anything different. They were going well, they were training well, the sessions were good, the talks were good. I happened to be just in the stand, me and all them, and I was just happened to be in the stand. I know Pat Ryan, I sat down, I listened to his few words where he was talking. Would I have said anything different? No. So, yeah, there's a lot of easy kind of pass remarks. Yeah,
like, from the know, outside from as well, looking outside in, it's a lot easier. In, yeah.
And then there are people who get paid to, you know, have an opinion. Right, that's the business, to have an opinion. They get paid for it, and best of luck to them. Like, so they have to come up with something. Like,
yeah.
So they tend to, a lot of people just tend to pick what's the vibe out there, and I'll take that and I'll add to it. You know what I mean? And again, it's a bit lazy thinking in my view. Like, you know, I wouldn't like to judge them boys too harshly. I think they're a good crop of young fellas.
And Cork footballers this year, they really won the county over. You know, I know there's a stalwart of Cork supporters that they were all up in Donegal for that win, and they got to witness it. But
Donegal will be like, I suppose, the GPO 1916. There'd be an awful lot more people say they were at it than were actually there, you know. So it'll be a bit like that now. I was actually here on the sideline here. We were watching the match here. We were just finished training with the minors, and they came in, and that people saw, could see me going kind of pinky ponky inside the car, shouting, roaring, and bashing the dashboard and stuff. So I was just delighted for them. But yeah, they've had a good year. I think 10 out of the 14 games they've won, which is good. Not a million miles away. Very disappointed with Mayo, they were in themselves, and when they came away from it, they were very disappointed. But look at Mayo again the weekend, like, you know, they put love to the pin of their collar and their full forward and got, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of scores, like a real double amount of scores they got against us. And they have good, lively players. We have blooded a few players. It was very hard on John, I thought, over the last few years, because we were in Division 2. We couldn't afford to slip. Because if you slipped, you'd be down in Talton Cup. So he was doing everything to stay in Division 2. And so every game was a vital game. And it was very hard into blood a lot of younger fellas, you know?
Yeah.
Because you kind of, you could only make one or two changes in any one game. But next year now, I would see them up in Division 1. So, like, they have almost 2 years, if you know, of a go. So I think they get an opportunity to blood. Player. I hope he stays on. I presume he is going to be. And they'll get an opportunity to blood a few more players. A few lads will have put up their hands in the county championship this year. Some of the older fellas, you know, people are saying maybe they're too old. I wouldn't think so. I think, like, I've seen, you can only judge them by county championship standards. And their performances in the county championships in the last few years with their clubs has been impeccable, really. And they'll be the guys you go pick out. So I'd be kind of excited about that now in the next couple of years. The 20s. Couple of good lads coming through, and if we can bring two or three into that 20s next year, and three or four the year after, and four or five the year after that, we'd have done a good job too then. So the production line starts. Then the 16s have a good crop, seeing them two teams play already, and then the 15s have a good crop. So there's a steady supply of footballers there, but I think what's more important is that there's a steady supply of good men involved, which is, you know,
yeah,
not always been the case in Cork, like, as in, like, they wouldn't have the, not they would have the quality, but they mightn't have the quantity. But they have a lot of good men now in Cork at the moment involved, you know.
Will you spend the summer scouting? Think going down to club matches, or do you take a step back now that the whole Cork thing is finished?
So for me now, like, this time last year, I was already out at championships, 21s and minor championships, you know, we were back in on the horse. This year, don't know what we're going to do yet, you know, because so we have to sit down and review the year. We have to sit down then and see what's best for the county, you know. I mean, is me staying involved at minor, or is it me moving down to the 15s, or, you know, is it me going to be out on the grass somewhere like a goat and just chewing the grass, be happy out too? I suppose we almost always do what's best, and there's good people there. If you stay in a position too long, it stifles other people's opportunities. So, as you know, I spent the last 2 years kind of myself and Morris and Billy kind of working with the other mentors and the backroom staff, because they've never had done this before, and to bring them up to a very good step. We were really good men, and we were very lucky. So now they might want to, we'll see what they want to do and where they want to go, and, you know, because I see my job now in my 56 now this year, and I think my job is just to kind of steer people left and right. I don't have that huge bounce around energy to be running teams morning, noon and night, you know, so we'll see. But I would be I go to matches anyway, and I go down to see, you know, I flick on the things at night, and I see what's on tomorrow. I say, geez, we might go to that. We'll have a go and look at that and see. You know, if I'm at a senior match and I see something, you know, you tip in with the seniors at a 20s match, you ring up Ray and say, look, saw a fella there, he's very good. Or saw he was very bad, whatever. And I'll do the same with the minors, because you go to matches anyway, see what's coming up next. 16s, that will be an interesting, their championship now tonight, and there's another couple of them for the next few weeks, so you pop up to them and see what they're like, you know. Yeah, that's kind of, but what I'm going to be doing, I'd be quite happy doing the gardening, which genuinely mean that, like, I'm happy in my own skin. I don't really,
you mentioned that before, that competitive edge that a lot of coaches talk about.
My wife
saying.
Is that. My wife is the competitive edge in our house. Anyone will tell you that. She'd fucking fight with two flies going up a wall, and she'll take one side and the referee's always going to be it, right? So she, you know, and she's very competitive that way, so she goes to the matches, she enjoys them. And I am, it's not that I'm not competitive, but it's just slightly different. I'm not as driven as I was before for results. I get a greater kick in trying to break down a fella some fellas say he's useless or he'll never make it, or, you know, he's not fast enough or whatever, and you see something in him and you bring him along and, you know, he goes along to be a good player and everyone is mad about him afterwards. Yeah, I get a great little kick that I was a tiny bit, just a tiny part of that journey. That's where you get the kick from, yeah? Mm. You have a relevance, like, you know, just have a relevance, as opposed to being just trying to win. I'm not knocking winning, because you have to win, and I am competitive.
Yeah.
You know, there's a time and the place, and you've got to know when it is.
Do you think these days we can put a bit too much of an emphasis on, like, strict game plans in training and matches, and then someone that likes a Kobe McDonald shows up, just for example, and he's got a bit of flair and he expresses himself, and everyone thinks he is unbelievable, and he is, but do you think there's actually a load more players like that out there, but we've just maybe overcoached them a little bit?
I suppose, a senior in the county player, just not long retired, and I came up to you recently, he said he's interested in getting involved in coaching, and he said, look, could I get involved in one of the squads, or what do you think? I said, have you ever coached women? He's kind of looking at me, he says, no. But I says, no, you. I says, no, I would get involved with them first. And he was kind of highly indignant, like, so he was, you know, so I said, well, because they just won't do it. They'll ask you why. Why are we doing this, right? What's the purpose of this? How come we're doing that, you know? They'll ask you kind of them questions that forces you to think so. When you're going out to a training session, well, you've got to know why you're doing it, what's it about, who's it for, the bigger questions, you know. And I suppose I would always think that in coaching, self-awareness is a huge thing. And I think if it's a huge thing for me as a player, as a coach, then it has to be big for the player. And what you want to do is get the best out of him. And he's got to be predictably unpredictable. In my view, he's got to be able to kind of do the simple things fine and keep the basics right, but he's got to be able to kind of do something that if he sees it done, he should be able to do it, and he takes the responsibility if it goes right, and he takes the responsibility if it goes wrong. I think if the coach's reputation is the most important thing in that room, right, then the player is not the most important thing in the room, and the whole thing won't go right. Whereas the player's reputation is the most important thing in that room, and what you get out of that, then you know there's a fine line. There's discipline and there's regret. Both of them have pain, right? There's the pain of discipline and the pain of regret. And we used to say to the players all the time, the pain of regret is a ton of weight, like, but pain of discipline is only a little ounce, you know what I mean? It's only just there and then. So you have to have discipline when they go. But I'm not so sure we should be stifling. They have to have that kind of, well, what you think, have a go off it. I just think that anyway, because, you know, I mean, I'd hate to be told, I mean, I don't like being told what to do at the best of times, right? You know, I find it kind of being curtailed in the box. And I think a lot of people like the security of being told what to do, so that they don't have the blame. So, and they don't have the responsibility. For me, I love the responsibility, and if it goes wrong, well, fuck it, it went wrong. That's on me now, well, let's fix that. You know, but I hate to be stifled and to know that you can only play this way and this way only. Like, and I see that now at underages and matches at times, you know, carry the ball, don't give it away, don't kick it in, or kind of stuff, like, you're wondering, like, jeez, well, we want a sport, like, sport is an expression.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's also an ownership, like, you take the decision, you make a ball of it, you went for a point from too far out, a drop shot that he was handing in, something back in the other side. You have to take that responsibility, like, that's on you, like, in the same way you got that 2 point and you put it over the bar, like, and they all went crazy. You can't be going, oh, I told him to do that. Oh, that's my job, that's my idea. You can't do that, like, you just have to leave. That's what sport is. I think if you're involved in sport, you need to be kind of, you really can't have a big opinion of yourself, because it's about, like, I would have said before, I would trade everything in to play one more match of junior football, just junior football. Like, I played intermediate football, but even to go out the field and play junior football for one more match, I trade everything I do in for that, because that's the most beautiful thing you'll ever do, is play a sport, right? You're fully alive. But the next best thing then is if you can coach and give back. That's it. And if you can't kind of enjoy that, then I think you should play golf, or, you know, you should play kind of other stuff that's competitive that you can restrict yourself and, you know, and that's okay too for that competitive nature. But I remember Eamon Ryan when he was 80, a few years before he died, we were talking one day, he was talking about someone playing golf, and he said, you know, Keith, I'm going to take up that now when I get old. Do you know?
That's the kind of person, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And that's kind of where, you know, you just kind of keep going, and it is about him. And he, I mean, I learned, look, I travelled the country with him, and he was J Development Officer at UCC. And
okay.
And I was in CIT at the time, MTU, and we go to meetings together, we go to matches together, we go walking together. When he got sick first, we used to go walking up Margaret Hill every 2 or 3 days. We'd go for a walk. We were good friends. He was at my wedding. And, you know, very lucky to have people like him, and lots more like him, but particularly him, you know, was very good. That they were just, there was no bullshit, but they were very humble. So, you know, and when I was 30, I kind of knew everything. Do you know what I mean? I knew, I was the man, right? And as I got older, I realized that, oh, fucking nothing. And I kind of aiming, and then people really taught me an awful lot, and how he interacted with his players. And, you know, you meet Juliet Murphy, you meet the girls every year, and again, they talk about him, and I guess it is like talking, you know, they idolise him. Like,
yeah, it's incredible.
It's incredible, and because he was about them. It's not because he was a great coach. I saw his coaching sessions. They were good. They were effective. You know, he got exactly what he wanted to get out of it. They were planned and meticulous. I'd see him write his sessions. He had a little book. He'd write down all his stuff. But it was his communication piece was the big thing, like, and his humility. And I would have said that, you know, that if I learned anything, or I tried to learn something, I tried to learn it from him, you know, and people like him, you know. It is. After the match, the last day, John Fenton came over from Middleton. So Middleton had a player on cornerback, Ryan, and he came over and he introduced himself. He says, "Hi, Keith, my name is John Fenton." Now, he was introducing himself to a fella that when I was 13 years of age, I had posters of him on my wall, right? Do you know?
Yeah.
Like we idolised him. We idolised Jimmy Barry Murphy. We idolised these lads who played for Cork Hurling and football, right? And then they come over and introduce them to you, like I mean, these, and they're down in, I seen him down in Middleton directing traffic, you know, these are humble people, like they have won it all, they've done it all, and yet they're just grounded and rounded, and I, you know, if you can't learn off them, it's kind of a shame on me, really, like, you know.
Brilliant. Well, Keith, thank you so much. I better let you go.